The text comes from Deuteronomy. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, speak, Lord, your servants listen. Amen. A good few weeks ago now, I began what I hope will become an occasional series of sermons looking at the kingdom of God. And if you remember, one week we looked at this from the perspective of the Old Testament and then from that of the New. And today I want to return to this theme for the third time and look at what it means for us today as we try to live in the kingdom of God. A long time ago, a young Russian man became a conscientious objector, and he came to this view having read Tolstoy and the New Testament. He was brought before a magistrate, and with great conviction, he told the judge of the life that loves its enemies, that does good to those who despise, the life that overcomes evil with good, and which refuses war. And the judge said, "Yes, I understand, but you must be realistic. These laws that you're talking about are the laws of the kingdom of God, and that has not yet come." And the young man straightened up and said, "Sir, I recognize that it has not yet come for you, nor yet for Russia or for the world, but the kingdom of God has come for me." For Jesus, the kingdom of God was the most precious thing in the entire world. The citizenship of it was, of all things, the most valuable. Again and again and again in his teachings, Jesus makes it explicit that the kingdom has a value and a worth that are above all earthly things and all earthly standards. He has told us, "Seek you first the kingdom of God." He has said, "If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two." And then today in our reading from Matthew, we read yet another two parables all about the kingdom. These stories are known as the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. There was a man who was digging in a field, and as he dug, his spade struck a buried treasure. The man went away. He sold everything that he owned in order that he might buy that field and so possess the treasure. And then he tells of a merchant who spent his whole life searching for beautiful pearls. At last, he finds the most perfect pearl that he has ever, ever seen. And in order to buy it, he sells everything that he has just to own that perfect jewel. I don't think these stories need any interpretation. This is how we must feel about the kingdom of God. To be a citizen of the kingdom is worth everything that we possess, everything that we are. If there is something that hinders us from attaining to the kingdom, then it must be rooted out and thrown away. Our definition of the kingdom is this: the kingdom of God is a society on this earth in which God's will is done just as perfectly as it is in heaven. This is what we pray for every time we meet together. So using this definition, we can say that the most precious thing on this earth, the thing for which all else must be sacrificed and given up, the thing which must come first in our lives, is doing the will of God. And possibly you're asking yourself, why? Why is the citizenship of the kingdom so valuable? Why is it so important to do God's will here on earth? Well, there are a number of reasons why this should be. By doing God's will, we will attain to happiness. And this is a paradox, because doing God's will may well be the way to causing trouble for ourselves. Doing God's will is not the easy option. It might very well be the way to persecution, the way to loss, to unpopularity and isolation. It may even lead to death itself. And yet, it remains the way to true happiness. Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Judas went against the will of God in accepting that bribe. And when he saw what he had done, Judas went to the authorities and tried to undo his dreadful deed. But they only laughed at him. And he felt there was nothing else he could do but go out and hang himself. Judas went against God's will. He might have gained wealth, he might have gained favor with the most powerful men in the land, but it made him so wretched, so unhappy, that his only way out was to commit suicide. In contrast, look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here in this place, Jesus faced and accepted God's will for him. He accepted the way of the cross. Yes, he prayed hard that night that there might be some other road. But when he knew that there was no other option, that that was the will of his heavenly Father, he said, "Thy will be done." Jesus died. And he died in great agony and in pain. But remember, Jesus died with a shout of triumph. "It is finished." Which of these two men was the happier? The answer is clear. Jesus Christ, the one who did God's will. Yes, he found the way to death, but he also found the way to triumph. To do God's will might get us into trouble, but it is the way to lasting happiness. Doing God's will gives us a clear goal in this life. There is nothing worse than having nothing to do day after day. If we seek the kingdom of God, then we have a goal in life. We are going somewhere, and life becomes adventurous, life becomes exciting. Citizenship of the kingdom brings happiness because then we have the joy of knowing that we are doing the right things in our lives. I think we all enjoy doing the things that we like. But imagine that this was all that you had to do in life. Perhaps, like me, you enjoy reading. So every morning you get up, you settle down with yet another book while ignoring the washing up, the cleaning, the gardening, and the shopping. Now, for a time, this would be all right. But eventually, I think you would become aware that although this is very enjoyable, there are other things that require your urgent attention. The deepest satisfaction that there is in this life is doing a job to the very best of your abilities. W.E. Henley, the poet and the friend of Robert Louis Stevenson, wrote this poem: "My task accomplished and the long day done, my wages taken and in my heart some late lark singing, let me gather to the quiet west, the sundown splendid and serene." Complete contentment. And the greatest joy in this life is to have the task completed, the long day done, and nothing left undone. And this is what we achieve when we do God's will here on earth. And so far we have seen what citizenship of the kingdom gives us, but it can also benefit others. When we begin to try to do God's will, we cease to be selfish. We become filled with the desire to serve and to help other people. I think we all tend to think of the kingdom of God as being sometime in the future, something that we aspire to enter when we die. And in many respects, this is correct. Knowledge of the kingdom means that we do have a belief in life after death. But the kingdom of God is now. It's part of this life. The kingdom is within each one of us, and this is what Jesus teaches us. Doing God's will here on earth prepares us for the life that is to come. However, first of all, you've got to decide if you're going to become a member of the kingdom or not. No one ever drifted into the kingdom, and no one ever enters the kingdom by accident. If we are to become citizens, then we must make up our minds about how we're going to get there. It's been suggested that the Bible is one long sermon on the word choose. At the end of his life, Moses assembles the people and he said to them, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life." Joshua, at the end of his life, told his followers that they had a decision to make. "Choose this day whom you will serve," he told them. In the book of Genesis, we have that strange story about Lot's wife. She's one of those people who can't seem to make up her mind where she's going. And because of this, she's eventually turned in to a pillar of salt. She knew that she had to leave the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but still she had a lingering wish to stay. And she let indecision overtake her, and disaster followed. Choose this day whom you will serve. We must decide for ourselves. You must decide for yourself. What path will you follow in this life? Will you do God's will or not? A man came to Jesus one day and said he wanted to follow him, but first of all, he wanted to go home and say goodbye to his family. Instead of being delighted, Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Bible makes it clear that to become a citizen of the kingdom is a matter of deliberate choice. And it's utterly essential that we should make up our minds now. As Moses told his followers all those years ago, choose life. Choose life so that you may live. Amen. Thanks be to God.